All right, Ephesians chapter 6, preaching on the home again, and specifically Divine Instructions to Children, Part 2, Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother. Isn't it amazing how most of the sermons today are not really on subjects that will, on biblical order and subjects that will help you and really train your children to raise them right. Most of the gist of sermons today, if you scan the internet and you look over most things, they'll deal with soul winning, which is very important, which we need to do more of, when Brother Alexander comes, we are going to have an evangelism seminar when he comes, and that's what I'm going to have him teach on is evangelism. And then we're going to hit the streets together, all of us, and we're going to go out and evangelize. And I'm going to have him concentrate on us. So I don't want you to think that I do not see that as an importance, because it's very important. And I want him to train us and to help us and to teach us and to be a blessing in that way. And that's what he doesn't know that yet. He's going to find that out this week, that when he comes in May, he's going to do that. He's going to do an evangelistic seminar, and we're going to get out there and not so much in, you know, well, anyway, you'll understand when he comes. But anyway, so understand that, and then we're going to hit the streets, and we're going to, I want us to do some street preaching and some other things. I want to do some of that and also we'll have that go on and look forward to that in the spring, and that's when he'll be here and he'll do that. So Anyway, think about those things. But anyway, that's what you hear mostly about, though. You hear about, but you never hear Bible doctrine being preached any long. Oh, people can't take that. It's boring. They don't want to hear about Bible doctrine. It's boring. Boring. Boring to learn about the Bible is boring. Then what are you coming to church for? I had somebody say, well, they're upset, so they don't want to come to church, and they don't want to, you know, they'd rather be doing something else. Well, then go do something else. And now that's not your normal fundamentalist speech right there. You're supposed to beg them and implore them to love God. Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Yeah, I have no problem with that. That's what we're supposed to do. But if you don't even have the interest in God, and you don't care about His church, and you don't care about anything to do with the Bible or God, I don't care what little prayer you said or what little speech you memorized, it doesn't make any difference. You're as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. Because if you don't care about God or His people or anything else, and you don't want to be at church, the only reason why you're coming is because somebody appeals to you, or they make you happy when you come, then you don't want to be in the house of God. There's so many false converts in churches today. Folks, you just don't have a clue. You show me in the apostolic times where Peter stood up and begged those that were saved to take an interest in God. It's not there. There I go getting scriptural again, though. I need to stick to pragmatism. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, specifically to Israel. Honor thy father... Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we understand that Paul was addressing specifically to the born-again believers, and he says this. He says, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, he didn't say that the land of the Lord thy God giveth thee, did he? What was he doing? He was taking that Old Testament principle that was always in place, and then he was applying it to New Testament Christians. And he was saying, the principle has not changed. See that? Well, how do you get that? Okay, let's read the first one, class. Well, you just listen, I'll read. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's what Paul said. All right, that's what Paul said. Look at Exodus. He said this. Moses said this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So one was applied to the Jews, and one was applied to the New Testament Christian. The same principle applied to both. Do you see that? He said, upon the earth. That was all of us. Not just to Israel. You see that? Now, last week we looked at the first command of children to obey their parents in the Lord. We noticed from the Old Testament to the New Testament that God has not changed the divine order that He laid down. He never changed it. He made the father to be the head of the wife, and the mother to be a keeper at home, and the children to be in subjection to their parents. He has instructed them to be obedient to their parents and to honor them. To honor them. Now, obedience, if you're obedient, that's the first step in honoring, is obedience. We'll get to that. But honor means to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, and perform relative duties to. To perform relative duties to will be important as we get into this, okay, a little bit later on. But number one, children are to honor their parents because God brought you through them. See, what do you mean? God's divine order was set down, and honoring or respecting God's divine order is well-pleasing in His sight. God did not birth you directly, child. I hope you're listening. God did not bring you straight from Him through to this world. He gave you parents. Your mother was the channel, the vessel that He used to bring you into this world. Your father and your mother came together and wanted children. Amen? So you're there to be honored because they stood in the stead of God to bring you in this world. That is God's divine order. When children do not obey their parents and respect and submit to their parents, they are rebelling against God Almighty. They're rebelling against God's order. It's His design. What you are saying is that you know better than God does, and that you're always right, and that God must have made a mistake with the order that He laid down. That's what all of this is about, whether it's the feminism, whether whatever it is us shaking our fists in heaven and saying, God, you don't have a clue what you're doing, we know better than you do. And then the fruit of that is seen in our society today, in our churches today. The fruit of it is seen. Eve was guilty of the same sin. By the way, it's the sin of Antichrist. It first started in heaven with Satan and his rebellion against God's order. He said, I will ascend. I will ascend! Ooh. So what do you say? Well, if we look at feminism, which this is a major part of this whole study, as we look at the whole divine order that God laid down. If we look at feminism, what happened with feminism? The same sin that Satan was guilty of in heaven. I will ascend. What did he tell the lady? Oh, lady, come on. You can ascend. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. Did he not do the same thing? Did she not try to do the same? You'll be as gods. You mean, yeah, you know, the same thing that he tried to do, he got Eve to do. Children, when you don't obey your parents and honor them and respect them, you're saying, I will ascend. I will place myself above them. I will exalt myself. I will be as God. Simply put, we must submit to God's order because, children, God did not deal directly with you to bring you into this world. He gave you parents. They were given to you to raise you and to care for you and are the caretakers of God for you. Mom and Dad, listen, please. You are the caretakers for God. Amen. God placed you there to care for those children. You stand in His stead in raising those kids. Now what an awesome responsibility that is. But you and I are so busy playing games that we don't realize the awesome responsibility that God Almighty blessed you, gave you children, and He said, raise them. in my stead. I'm so glad that Mary and Joseph didn't decide to play games with Jesus, right? Even though we know he was perfect, the sinless Son of God. But he trusted Mary. And he trusted Joseph, didn't he? Parents aptly could be called the caretakers of children for God. Now they're their parents, we understand that. But they're there in God's stead. They have a direct responsibility to Him. God is a God of decency and order, and when we rebel against the order, only trouble will result from it. Parents, do you understand that you're a covenant keeper and a caretaker? Do you understand that, Mom, Dad? Do you understand that you are a caretaker and a covenant keeper with God? That you are promising God that you will raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you have made that pact and that promise with Him? If you haven't, you should have already. But the responsibility is still there regardless. You and I don't have the right not to teach them obedience. Did you hear me? You and I don't have the right not to not teach them obedience. We don't have the right to just let them grow up and not raise them. We don't have the right to neglect them, not to teach them and train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't have the right to do that. We have a mandate given by God to do it. And it's a clear command. Whether you and I like it or not. Whether it's easy or not. And too many parents, when they get guff from their children, they give up and walk away. You've got a purpose in your heart. You can be a lot more stubborn than that child is. Because I guarantee you, they can be stubborn. But you've got to have a lot more wherewithal than what a child does. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you respect your parents and reverence God Almighty as the headship in your life, and you understand that He has made you a mother and father, He has made you to be a caretaker for Him, to raise those children, you will not slack concerning your duties. You will understand the sacred responsibility that you've been given. But since we have cheapened womanhood and motherhood, and since we've made it of ill effect and of no effect at all, and it means nothing, since we've done that, we don't see that divine responsibility anymore. We don't teach our children obedience anymore. We accept sin. And we make excuses for it. Plain and simple. We accept sin and we make excuses for it. You will not allow disobedience and overlook rebellion if you understand the divine responsibility you've been given. You will not have a silly fondness for your child that does not correct, instruct, and build them up. Too many parents have a silly fondness for their children. They don't correct them. They allow them to do anything because they're just so cute. They may be cute and all, but someday they'll grow up to be a monster and blow your face off in front of you. Right. And you can sit around and joke with yourself and fool yourself and think that your child couldn't turn into an absolute monster. But I should write a book on the monsters of fundamentalism. The offspring of the monster, the monster offsprings of fundamentalism, because I can show you a long list of them. They were underneath the greatest preachers, that some would say greatest ever, and their children turned out to be dogs. Fornicators, abusers, molesters, everything else you can imagine. So if you want to see, yeah, I know a lot of people that in the name of religion have done a lot of things to kids and ruined them. So you better remember one thing, that you have a divine responsibility from God to raise those children. And just as they're to honor you, you have a responsibility to raise them. If you parents respect and reverence God Almighty, you better understand the truth there. You're standing in God's stead, raising your children for Him. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You're raising those children for the Lord, and for His pleasure, for His honor, and for His glory. So far be it for them to get in the way of your life. To get in the way of your career, your agenda. God forbid that your child should get in the way of that. Think of the awesome responsibility that we do have to raise our children. How incomplete are we raising them? Let me ask you. Ask yourself this question. What have I left out that they need? What have I not given them that they need? Think about it. What lack of discipline have I not given them? What piece of the puzzle have I left out that they don't have? What correction or direction or affection? What have I left out that they need? What are they going to be minus? What are they going to grow up with at the end of their, as an adult, and they grow up and I see them go out of my home and I see them get married? What defect have I caused in them? What have I not given them? You see the awesome responsibility? So don't let them interfere. You know, don't treat your children like they're interfering with your life, and you'll raise them when you get time. Oh, I'll teach them obedience when I get time. No, you teach it now, or they'll be punching you in the face when they're 16 years old. Or 17. I just had to do that. I've seen it. I've watched young men grow up and fight their parents. I watched it. I've seen it. Can you imagine that, a father having to punch his son? Having to smack around his son? Shouldn't be that way. What happened? Right back here. Something didn't happen. They didn't learn respect and honor and obedience at a young age. You know what our prisons are full of? People that didn't learn respect and honor and never were taught it. They don't just grow up with it. Years just don't go by and they develop it. It doesn't happen. If you don't teach it, they won't have it. Amen? This is supposed to be about the kids honoring. You and I will give an account to God as stewards and how we raise them. Will we be ashamed? Will we stand before God ashamed? In many ways, yes. Does it not reverence? Don't you have enough reverence for God to want to decide to do something different about it now? Lay down some order and some structure and get the things done that need to be done? Have we tried to grow them spiritually? Are we so carnal that we've taught them nothing? Have we lost sight of that teaching ministry to our children? Instructing them and teaching? Oh no, that's the public school teacher's job. Oh no, I forgot, that's the youth pastor's job. Yeah, that's just what I want. Some 23-year-old kid teaching my 15-year-old daughter how to do something. Yeah, in all his wisdom and everything. I don't want to teach my daughter anything at that age. Hey, Beth? Make sense? Hope it does. You know, there's a lot of problems in churches today, and a lot of it stems around the lack of the order messed up. We decided to shuck it off. Let the youth pastor do it. So he just gets up and has a bunch of fun with them. What does that do? You're the father. You should be having fun with them.
Right.
Amen? You should be doing something with them. You should be spending time with them. Again, if you can show me that one in the Bible, I'll be fine with it. That somebody from the church is supposed to get up and entertain your children. And that's their job, chief entertainer. You know what we've done? We've just taken them to church and said, "Preacher, you be the spiritual one in their lives." Now, it's true the pastor should have an impact on the family. I mean, he should be there. His preaching should have an impact. His example should be an impact. But father, mother, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to blame anybody when you're standing before God and you're giving an account for your children. Whether you taught them obedience. Children, you're to honor your parents. Parents are to honor God's order. And children are honoring God when they respect their parents and fear them in reverence. Well, what are ways that God would have us to honor our parents? We've already looked at obedience as one major way of respecting last week your parents and reverencing them. We looked at that last week. Obedience is a way that we show reverence and respect. How can you say you love someone and you respect them if you don't obey them when they have the rule over you? How is that love? You cannot say you're honoring your parents by disobeying them and rebelling against them. That's not honoring. Just like you can't say you're honoring God as a child of God if you disobey Him and are in rebellion to Him and His order. Churches today are disobedient to God's order and not honoring Him. They don't honor God. All of us are guilty of that. Our homes are disobedient to God's order, and it's not honoring to Him. God would have obedience rather than sacrifice. One major way Scripture explains honoring your parents is to care for them when they cannot care for themselves. Genesis 41, turn there please, Genesis 41 and verse number 42. One way of honoring your parents is to take care of them when they cannot take care of themselves any longer. Genesis 41 and verse number 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Moving along to Genesis 46 and verse number 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot, went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Notice the most powerful man in all the world was Joseph. He stood in Pharaoh's house and he was the most powerful man. And he had time to go down to his father in the chariot and meet his father. He presented himself unto his father, fell on his knees and kissed his father's neck and wept on his neck. Why did he do that? Respect. Honor. His father was old and he would have starved if he would have stayed in Canaan. So Joseph sent for his father. And he said, "I want to go down. I'm going to meet my father. And I'm going to meet him and I'm going to bring him here and I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to care for my father. Because he can't care for himself." He sent for his father. He could have fed and he could feed and care for him, and he did just that. You and I need to understand that we need to honor our parents in their old age. Sometimes a parent can be so far gone at an elderly age that you may not be able to take care of. There may be extending circumstances, health concerns, things where they have to have different types of monitoring. But in America today, and in these end times, we see people dumping their parents in nursing homes and neglecting them and never seeing them. You need only to go to nursing home ministries like the Hildebrands do, like the Biases do. And when you go there, and I've been there many times, and you go to the nursing home and you see these people and you ask them, and they say, well, they're so excited because maybe once in 2 weeks somebody's going to come and visit them. They're so heartbroken because their children, you know what their children say? Well, you know what they say? They make excuses for their children. You know what they say to them? They say, oh, well, they're busy. They have their own life. How many times have you heard that at the nursing home, Brother Bicey? You've heard it too, Brother. They're just busy. They have their own life. So then meanwhile, these people are not where they cannot live on with their family. They're not in that bad a shape. Many of them aren't. Some of them are, but many of them aren't. And they look at this and they make excuses for their children. I think to myself, I'd like to slap the stupid out of that kid. Leaving your mother and your father there and just leaving them, dumping them off at a nursing home, letting them die there. And gracing them with your presence once in a while. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. But you know what the key is to that? Most of the time the wife and the mother is not in the home. She's out with a career. She couldn't possibly obey God's order of honoring the parents and taking care of them in their old age. Why? She's too busy with a career and she can't do it. Because she'd be the one to do it. See that? So one sin begets another, and another, and another, and another. And the parents aren't honored in their old age. They let them die in a nursing home somewhere with nobody to visit them because they're busy with their life. It's not right, folks. It's not biblical either. That definition of honoring means to honor with your substance, with what you have to care for them. The Bible says you're to take care of them. The Jews became disobedient to this command, and Jesus rebuked them sharply for it. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. The Jews became very disobedient to this command, and they changed this command. How'd they do that? Well, look at Mark chapter 7 and verse number 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be freed. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. What were they doing? Well, they were saying, listen, if I choose to give you a gift, I'm not obligated to take care of you, mom and dad. If I choose to give you a gift, it's a gift. It's out of the graciousness of my heart that I'm even doing it. But I have no responsibility to take care of you, to honor you. I'm freed from that. Because my fortune or what I have, my substance is for the Lord, so I don't have to give it to you. That's what they were doing. They were saying it was already pledged to the Lord, so they didn't. These weren't priests even. They were saying that so they didn't have to give it to their parents to take care of them. That's the excuse that they were using, so they didn't care for their parents in their old age. And Jesus said to them, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Oh, here's a gift, Dad and Mom. Here you go. Here's a little bit of something. But not to care for you. But let them die without what they need. And they didn't take care of their mother and their father. They didn't honor their mother and their father, which was the first command with promise, the Bible says. We'll get to that in a second, too. He said, you're telling them that he doesn't have to care for his parents because he can keep all he has. So they weren't caring for their parents, but the elders were releasing them from their obligation. They had no biblical right to do it, and Jesus called them on it. He said, you're making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. You were told to honor your father and your mother from the beginning. But you made it of no, you made the word of God of no effect with your tradition. You turned a tradition into the word of God. And you made it trump the Bible, and you said, I don't have to care for my parents. I happen to believe, by the way, that if you are going to take care of your parents, you have a family, they should come to you. You don't have to go to them. I believe they should live with you and take care of you if that's the problem. I don't think you should have to move to them and move your whole family like that. No, they should come to you. And you should move them in your house if that's possible, and that's the way you deal with that. I don't think you should move to them. I'm not saying that. And uproot your family and everything. No, they can come to you. They're the ones that need cared for. They should come to you. They should sell their home and do what they have to do if that's the case and do what they have to do. Now, there's different circumstances with different families and, you know, and everything else. But I'm just saying, as a whole, I don't think it's necessary for you to uproot your family to do that. It shows very clearly in the Bible that that in Joseph's case, that his father came to him and he cared for his father. The Bible is very plain, though, that you're to honor your parents as they cared for you as an infant. You're to care for them as they are in their fragile state one day. I see many adults today that the lady is not the keeper at home, so she cannot care for the parents. And they believe they've been released from the obligation, but it's a covenantal responsibility. You've not been released. Remember, Paul just showed you that just what was true to the Jews is true to the Christian in this case. You have a responsibility to care for them. Amen. Just as your parents are held to their promises, caretakers to God, for God, you are commanded to care for them when they're old. How dishonoring is it to let a mother or a father waste away and die lonely and on their own? How dwelt the love of God in you? How about this one? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Just let him sit there and die, not help him, not care for him. Let him die lonely in a nursing home somewhere. We have lost sight of the family in this country. We just have lost sight of it. I know some people that tell us stories of how they nursed and took care of their father and mother till their dying day, and they watched them drift off into heaven. You know what peace they have? Knowing that they were there and that they took care of their father and their mother until they died and went home to be with the Lord. And they didn't hold on to a bunch of guilt of neglect and not caring for them. You think about that. Now, I know some mother, you know, there's extenuating circumstances. Sometimes my grandma had Alzheimer's, and she got so bad that, I mean, she'd walk out in the middle of the night and freeze to death and die in certain circumstances. And I mean, they get so feebled up that they can't do anything, and they, you know, it gets bad. It can get bad. And then sometimes you have to have special medical help for that. And there's not a whole lot you can do. But in most circumstances that I have seen, these people are not that bad off. And it looks just like the mother leaving the home and not taking care of the children and giving it to somebody else. I see it with the parents the same way. They throw them in a nursing home and somebody else cares for them. Whoever told you you have the right to give up that God-given responsibility and that covenant that you made and that command that was given by God to throw them in a hole somewhere and let somebody else be their caretaker? Where do you get that? No. No one ever gave you the right. This is where we got to get back to families and understanding families. My goodness. It's so cold and informal with families today. They don't know what's going on with their family. They can't talk. They can't get along. They don't communicate. They don't do anything together. It's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way God intended it to be. Next, though, God gives the blessings that follow honoring His order. He says that it might go well with thee, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He said, preacher, what does this mean? Simply put, it means that a child learns obedience at a young age and is taught to respect and reverence to God, that he will live long upon the earth. You ever met a person that doesn't know how to respect authority and doesn't learn obedience? You know how quick and easy they die when they get out in the world? How they end up in a jail cell, prison, or dead because they can't stop running their mouth. And finally somebody gets sick of them running their mouth, sticks a gun to their head and blows their head off, and they find them in the back of an alley somewhere. An acquaintance that I hung out with back in my lost days, about 14 years ago. And this, it's been that long. Good night. 12 years ago, I think it was, that this kid ended up face down with his brains bashed in on some old lady when she went out to pick up her newspaper. She found him in the front yard. Now, there's a kid that never learned how to respect anybody. I'm sorry if that's too real for you, but young people, you better listen. You don't learn respect and reverence and honoring your parents at a young age, you can end up like that. Not my child. Oh, you want to believe it? You better believe it. I was just like your kids that are sitting in Sunday school today right now, sitting in church right now today. I was just like one of your kids. I went to church. I heard a preacher stand up and do that. I ended up in drugs, fornication, wickedness, and everything else you can imagine. And almost ended up in jail or prison or caught many times. So don't stand there and say, not mine. Mine could never do that. Don't ever say that. Amen? Don't ever say that. Because it can happen. If you don't teach them what they need to learn at a young age and instruct them and teach them in righteousness and guard them and guide them and protect them and be the weird one and don't be scared to make your family mad at you. Don't be scared to offend people about on your stand that you're not going to do some things, you're not going to allow your children to do some things, you're not going to let any of it happen. Why? Why do you care if people think you're weird? Why do you care? Why does that bother people so much? Can't we just be individuals? I mean, why do we have to be so afraid of what somebody might think? Why? If you're standing for what's right and you're holding up biblical principle in your life, why are you scared to offend somebody? You know why I taught on that Christmas? You know why I'm teaching on that Christmas on Wednesday nights? To ruin your Christmas. No. I mean, yes, I know you are. No, do you know why I'm doing it? Because I don't care if you get mad at me. Because if I believe something is historically accurate and biblically right, I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. Why? Because I'm going to stand before God and I'm not going to say, well, God, I know that whole Christ mass thing, you didn't like that whole thing, and I know the mass and Christ and putting them all together and this whole transubstantiation and the devilish Babylonian historical evidence of it all. I know, God, I know, but you know what? I didn't want to make the people mad. See, that's just not me. I'm not that guy. I'd rather you get mad at me and know the truth. So I can look at you and say, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that's between you and God now. And again, I'm not saying, like I clarified over and over again on Wednesday night, I'm not saying because you have a Christmas tree or you have these other things that this is what you are. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is where it comes from. And if your heart is more attached to tradition than it is to the Word of God, get right with God. Don't get mad at me. Get right with God. Because what you're saying is my tradition is more important than the pure, plain Word of God. And then I'm on safe ground when you get mad. Because God is going to judge you for getting mad at me for telling you the truth. Do you see how that works? And when you have ill thoughts towards me because I tell you the truth about whatever it is, whatever in the Bible it is, then God holds you accountable for it. Not me. Right? I don't have to answer for God for telling you the truth. Pastor, you're standing at the judgment seat. Now, you gave him too much truth. It's just that we live in a day of pandering. Your politicians pander you. they won't look at you and tell you the truth. The preachers of the country, we don't tell you the truth because we're afraid you're going to get upset with us. And I just decided, if God, if you called me to the ministry and people hate me because of it, well, I'm in good company, because they hated all the apostles and they hung them. They burned them. They stretched their bodies out. They threw them in boiling pots. They did everything to them. So if I just have some people give me some dirty looks and be upset with me, well, it's not so bad once you get used to it. I also know that if somebody loves you enough, they'll tell you the truth. But you just remember, when you're rebellious against the truth, you remember this one thing. You're rebellious against God's order. And I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about, in general, everything. I'm not talking about one specific thing. I'm just telling you, you have to understand that when you're rebellious to God's order, you answer to God for it. I don't care what any philosophy you have in your heart or whatever man-made thing you try to put up. You have to answer to God for being rebellious to His order. And when you don't teach your children to honor God and to put Him above all else, you and I both answer for that. We do. And sometimes it's not always the fun to be the guy that tells you the truth. But it's always right. And either the Word of God is going to be our authority, or we're going to play games. One of the two is true. By the way, I've already had people in my family get mad at me about saying something about a Christmas tree. I've already had it happen. It's not my mom and dad, by the way. But, my dad was just kind of laughing about it. He just likes to look and see if, you know, I'm out of the wheel now, so it's just... But somebody heard that I don't believe in a Christmas tree, and it got back to somebody else, and it became a big deal. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do in your house. I'm not telling you what to do. I'll tell you what the Bible says about biblical order, about what's right, what's wrong. You make your own decision up. If you have a Christmas tree and I come over to your house, I'll sit there and eat and drink eggnog with you and eat your cookies. I don't care. It's not my house. Do you understand that? Somebody asked me the other day, do you believe a divorced pastor should be a pastor? You know what? If he's not my pastor, I really don't care. It's not my fight. I don't have a dog in the fight. Whether Peter Ruckman's been married 16,000 times, he ain't my pastor. I don't care what he does. I don't have to answer for what somebody else does in their home. You understand that, right? I'm not the police. I don't do that. I don't believe in the Patriot Act. I don't kick people's doors in and wonder what they're doing in their houses. I just preach the Bible. Amen. And I'll tell you this, when children don't learn at a young age, it can be your child that turns out to be what happened to me when I was younger, when I got older. And young people, look up at me. No matter how much you don't like what I'm saying right now, listen to this one thing. There are things inside here that I can never erase, that will not go away, that haunt me, that won't leave, visions, images, things like that, that never leave. They haunt you until the day you die. Yes, forgiven, but it never goes away. Never. And the emotional scars and the things that you take with you, though you're forgiven, those things never go away. That's why we teach respect and honor at a young age. That's why we instill those things into our children at a young age and help them with it. Understand, God could take, it says that thy days may be long upon the earth. That doesn't mean that somebody can't die prematurely and that they've done something wrong if they do. What it means is their days while they're here will be full of blessings from the Lord. Can any deny that if you follow God's order, He won't bless it? When children grow up with proper biblical principles instilled in them, they many times avoid the vices of this world. How can God not bless His order? When you reverence God and His commands, He richly blesses. He blesses obedience. It's what He desires from His children more than anything. What do you as a parent desire more than anything for your children? Obedience. Because you know if they obey you and you instruct them right, that they'll turn out right. You'll teach them to honor. And children, when you honor your parents, even though they don't do things right all the time, even though they're sinners and they mess up and they sin and they do things wrong, that has never released you from your responsibility to honor them. But you think if your parents are wrong that you don't have to respect and honor them. I've seen kids grow up with that way, bitter. Well, I wasn't raised right, so I'm going to be mean as a rattlesnake, not everybody I know. They treat their parents with complete disrespect. Why? Because their parents were sinners and they messed up? Oh, I'm glad you weren't that big of a sinner and Jesus didn't have to go to the cross to die for your sins. And if it was just you, He would have died for your sorry carcass too. You know what that's a sign of, folks? That's a sign of somebody who's never been forgiven. I'm telling you, people that are like that have never been forgiven. They're still dead in trespasses and sins. They've never been forgiven. They don't understand biblical forgiveness because they've never experienced it. The longer you're saved, the more you understand biblical forgiveness. This also shows me that God is watching down from heaven and looking at how you and I raise our children and how they reverence us. I hope your heart is not hardened. One thing I have figured out, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, if you have a hard heart and you're a born-again believer, God's going to break that. He'll break the hard heart. He'll bring you down to nothing to show you you need Him. It's funny, if you listen to that revival hymn, you listen to something, and one of the preachers talked about how somebody said, your church is always warring. And she said, my church is peaceful. We don't ever war like that. He said, lady, so is the cemetery. It's got the peace of the damned in it. But God's called us to war. You know what's really sad? Nobody wants to war for God today. They don't want to stand up against this world and how it's infiltrated our church and how it's infiltrated our homes and how it's infiltrated our parenting of our children and just stand up and say enough is enough. We're standing for the Lord no matter what. And we're going to raise our children for Jesus Christ. We're going to stand for the truth in it all. Children, do you honor and obey your parents? Do you fear them with reverence, with godly reverence and fear? You say, no, they messed up with me when I was a kid. So that gives you an excuse not to honor them? I don't have to respect them because they messed up. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say that, does it? doesn't say that you can disrespect your father and your mother because they raised you wrong. Never says that. You know, it doesn't say that just because somebody messes up that you're to disrespect them. Or they sin, you're to disrespect them. Parents, are you teaching them to honor that honor and respect that they need? And the obedience that's paramount for them to have a victorious life? Or are you allowing them to disobey you time after time after time after time after time and not expecting them to obey? You've gotten so used to expecting them to disobey that you don't expect them to obey. And guess what? They know that and they disobey. Because they know you don't expect obedience. You're just giving lip service. Believe me, children are very wise. They know how many chances they get. They know that whole, by the way, they know that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thing. If you catch that, let me share something with you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I got till 4. After 5, the whammy comes. So I'll take it to 4. Do you get that? You just gave them 4 chances not to honor or respect you. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, you count, you gave them 4 chances to dishonor you and disrespect you. Do you think the police, when they come up to them someday and they've learned that, and they think they have all those chances, now you get out of there. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom! It doesn't work like that. But you want to know something? You and I are laughing right now. But you don't know how sick that plays out.
Right.
Because some people, they really think they have that. I said, get down! They're waiting to hear 1, 2, 3. You're not going to hear 1, 2, 3, 4. You might, but it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 rounds going into your back. Folks, I'm just telling you, there's a real world out there, and you may shelter your kids now, which is what we're trained to do, we're supposed to do, but you better understand that if you don't teach them respect, obedience, and reverence now, that's what happens. Or they might run their mouth to the wrong person someday. I did that when I was 12. I got my nose broke. My brother told me, just swing first, don't run your mouth. I'm just saying. Don't run your mouth, right? You teach them that discernment. You teach them those things. Are you getting this today? Is that making sense? Am I speaking Greek? I'm not good at it, but I hope I'm making sense to you in what I'm saying. Folks, if we don't teach our children to honor us now, they won't do it when you're old. What happened to those children that throw their parents in a nursing home and never see them? What do you suppose happened to them? You think there's some of these lessons that they never learned how important the family was? Do you think it might have been because mom left the home? And maybe dad thought career was more important than raising his children and being a father. So he did nothing with his children. He didn't raise his children. His daughters didn't grow up loving their father. And then they don't grow up loving their husband. You know, if you have a daughter, she better love her father and reverence him. I mean, a son should too, but a daughter really better understand that. If she doesn't have that, there's something wrong. Daddy is not being daddy. And husband, you shouldn't be surprised if your daughter really loves her father. That means that she had a strong relationship with her father. Amen? And guess what? That makes her a better wife, by the way. Because a little girl that loves her daddy grows up to love her husband. Amen? You who know that you had a close relationship with your father, you ladies can attest to that. You loved your father greatly. And you love your husband greatly because of it. Amen? It just makes perfect sense. But it all starts from reverence and obedience and honoring right away at a young age. Don't expect that your child's going to grow up with it automatically without you teaching it, instructing it. It doesn't happen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the divine command for children to honor their parents and the divine command for parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we're all guilty of not doing enough. We don't expect enough. Lord, we fail you as parents. Help us, Father, to raise our children for you and help our children to learn obedience and honoring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.